Good morning, live stream, and happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yeah? Yeah. Let's try it one more time. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, we've got a few people coming into the auditorium getting ready to worship with us, but I'm here to welcome you all, my friends on live stream. My name is Star McMillan, and I've hosted a few times with you guys before, and I'm just so thankful that we get to spend this Easter together. I hope you're getting settled in your living rooms or in front of whatever screen you have to celebrate with us this glorious morning when good news came. Hallelujah. Well, I wonder how your Easter's been. You know, it's always tricky in the Northwest because of the weather, right? We see all these lovely little Easter dresses and bonnets, and maybe not bonnets anymore. I remember little white gloves, you know, when you're a little girl, or things like that. Also, just having an Easter egg hunt outside is always challenging in the Northwest, isn't it? But we are excited that you get to spend this kind of rainy morning with us celebrating the greatest son of all, and that's the Son of God, who came to do exactly what he did this morning thousands of years ago, and that is to conquer sin and death. So I hope that you guys are having a good Easter weekend. You know, my kids are growing up a little bit, so they still like to dye Easter eggs, but not so much do the hunt. So I'm wondering if you guys were able to do any Easter egg hunts, if you have kiddos, or if you have one planned later today. It should be fun, and I hope that you can enjoy it even with the rain. Well, I'm going to tell you a few things that are happening around here. I first want to just give a shout out to Sarah and Jason. They're going to be our live stream hosts today. So if you have your little chat open, maybe give them a shout out and tell them good morning. Also, if you're doing an egg hunt, maybe tell us what you're doing this morning, even if it's not an egg hunt. Tell us what you're doing today, if you're getting together with family or eating some ham later, whatever you're doing. Maybe eating some of those dyed eggs or sneaking some maybe candy from your kids' egg, plastic eggs, who knows? Not that I do that at all, ever. All right, we've got a couple announcements for you. This weekend is super exciting, of course, because it's Easter, but we're not gonna stop there, you guys. Next weekend, we have the IF gathering. So this is for all you ladies. It is Friday and Saturday, and if you've heard about the IF gathering, you may be thinking, didn't that happen already? So it's kind of like a huge live online conference. And yes, it did already happen. However, we're going to do it together. So don't get online and look it up. Wait, don't do any spoilers. We're going to do it together next weekend. It should be a really great time. It's not too late to register, and you can get all that info online. So I would really encourage you to come. It doesn't matter what age you are. I brought my high schooler last year, and she loved it. We did it together, and it's Friday evening, and most of the day is Saturday. There's good food. There's coffee. You get to hang out with other ladies. It really is just a lovely day. It really is like self-care, but it's the best kind of self-care because it's spiritual self-care. So that's my big plug for IF Gathering. Don't miss it. I'm telling you, it is an investment in your own spiritual walk, and you'll love it. Also, next Sunday, we have a newcomers reception. So if you're here live with us, don't miss that. We also have a coffee taste-off. I think that we're doing this because we really want to make sure that we're serving good coffee. I think that's it. And so we want your vote on what you prefer. And if it's the most popular one, that might be the coffee that we start serving. We also have a family skate night, and that's next Sunday at Skate World. And when we say family skate night, we're really just saying like our disco family. You can be 4, you can be 94. I don't actually skate. Not that I can't, but I really don't want to injure anything. So. So I just go and root everybody on. So you don't even have to skate, you guys. You can just come and hang out and be cool and watch other people fall. It's super fun. Then there's a couple other things coming up that we want you to save the date for. So if you're trying to figure out what your plan is for the rest of spring and maybe even into summer, here's a few things. We have a family worship on April 30th. That's always going to be the fifth Sunday of the month. We let the kids come in. So we don't have kids programs. We have the program for kids be worship. And it's really beautiful because it's a great chance for our kids to see how we worship and what that looks like and get familiar with those songs and really worship as a family. So it's a great time to be together and just model what it looks like to be in service and to worship the Lord. Also, I'm not just reminding you this for discovery's sake, but for your own sake. Mother's Day is coming, you guys. So mark it on your calendars. Mother's Day is May 14th. We're going to have Italian sodas and treats. It's a really special time to be together, so bring your mama to church. We also have a worship night coming up, and that's May 19th. I'm telling you, we've got your May planned, okay? So, also, Father's Day, it's coming up. It's in June, June 18th. We're doing a chili cook-off. So, guys, if you have that famous chili recipe, we want it. And we're, like, I'm telling you, this is a real cook-off. We're doing, I think there's judges, and we're voting on stuff. So, bring your best recipe, and let's eat some chili together. Yeah, should be fun. And then mark your calendars for July 2nd. Discovery is going to descend on Cheney Stadium and root on the Tacoma Rainiers together. And I don't know if this is later in the year than last year. Last year when we did it, it was a bit of a rainy day, rainy summer day, but it kind of was bonding. We all did that together, so it was great. So come July 2nd, mark your calendars for a little bit of baseball together. And registration for that opens actually soon. That's why I'm reminding you, I think April 30th, you can start registering online for that. Well, you guys, it is Easter, and we are so excited to worship with you. You know, this week it kind of hit me that this is not only a day where we celebrate Jesus conquering death, he died for us on the cross, right? And he conquered death, but in that act, he conquered sin as well. Isn't that beautiful that we can, in that one lovely step, that he conquered both sin for us and then death as well? What a beautiful thing. Well, let's stand and worship together as a family and just worship the Lord and what he did for us today. So thankful that you're here. Let's worship together.
Good morning, friends and family. Happy Easter. I'm not going to steal John's thunder by dropping the line of he is risen, so don't respond to that. Sorry, John, I tried to keep it in. All right, go ahead, stand if you're not, and we're going to sing a song that most of us are familiar with. But let's just bring some joy into this room, appreciation that he really did fulfill his promises to us.
Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
help it, but I have to say, happy Easter. He is risen. I know we're totally taking the thunder from John, but boy, there is somebody else that deserves so much more of our thunder, doesn't he? Yeah, so I gotta say it, he's risen. That's what we're all here for. Yeah. Feel free to have a seat. I'm just gonna walk you through a few things to expect this morning. Gosh, you guys all look so good. We've got a good-looking crew here. Yeah, you brought it out today, guys. Good job. Well, my name is Star McMillan, and I'm just here to kind of tell you kind of the lay of the land, what to expect while you're here. If you have a worship folder, I'd love for you guys to just kind of get that out right now. We're going to go through it a little bit. If you don't have one and you're brave, you can kind of wave your hand and we'll actually get you one. But this has everything that you are going to need to know for today and for what's coming up in the weeks to come. And I'd love for you guys, there's a lot of ingredients in here, but I'd love for you to get out this little guy right here. This is called our connection card, and it is just like gold to us. It's just a chance for you to tell us how you're doing, if you have a prayer request, if there's anything that you need. We want to be your family. We want to pray for you. I promise we're not going to hound you or hassle you, but we'd just love to know that you are here, and if there's any way that we can pray for you or serve you, we want to know. So whether you're new or old, this is kind of our tradition. We fill it out, and you can turn it in later down here, or when the offering baskets go by, this can be your offering if you're new. Just slip that in and let us know you are here. We'd love to know. Well, there's a lot happening around Discovery. Next week, we have a sermon series coming up. I'm really looking forward to this one, you guys. And maybe you're in a place like this, or maybe you know a friend who is in a place like this, but the sermon series we have is titled Between Two Worlds, A Journey Through Deconstruction. Now that name or that word has really become popular, I think, in the last several years. But basically, you may have a friend or you might even be in a season of deconstruction where you're kind of questioning your faith, wrestling with a few things, not exactly sure what to make of a few things that you've read or heard about in the Bible. And this is really a great time for us, instead of shying away from that whole topic, to really lean in and let's wrestle through that together. We've all been in a place, I'm sure, of kind of questioning, what do I believe? What do I not believe? What am I having a hard time walking through the Bible and understanding? Let's just do that together. And if not for you, maybe you have a friend who's gone through a season like that, and it might be a great place for you just to lean in and understand what they're going through. So that starts next week. I'm really excited for it, and I think it'll be really useful in our own walks and sharpening us for when we go out and love on other people. So that's next week. For this week, for right now, there's a few things just while we're here together that I'd love for you to know kind of what to expect. First, we're going to continue worshiping in a little bit. Pastor John will walk us through some scripture together, and then we'll worship a little bit more through giving back to God. We'll sing a little bit more, and then we'll close out with some reminders. I'll come back up and give you a few more announcements that you can also find in your lovely worship folder. Okay, also we have a few fun treats for you guys after service that I'll tell you about when we get there. But right now I'd love to read a little scripture over you. So I'd love for you just to, I was going to ask you to stand, but honestly I think I'm going to have you sit and just let this word kind of wash over you. Let it be serve as a primer for the rest of our worship going forward. I'm going to be reading Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others, and it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I'd love to invite you to stand with us as we continue to worship this Easter.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come.
Blessed are those who are mourning, for they will be comforted. And so we receive your comfort, Holy Spirit. We receive with joy that you are alive today. Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
He is risen.
Hey, that was pretty good. Yeah. You guys are working on it. One more time. He's risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Have a seat. Jesus, we are so, so incredibly honored to gather in this place and worship. It is an amazing thing that we live in a place where we can gather in a public place. This is a high school. And we get to gather here publicly and declare that Jesus, you are everything. That this day, 2,000 years ago, changed everything forever. And that right now you're gathering the broken. You're gathering the cynic. You are gathering the lost. You're gathering the doubter. You're gathering the distracted. you are gathering every man, woman, and child, and you're gathering them to home to you. And we live in an amazing day and time, and we pray that Jesus, the same powerful resurrection moment that happened 2,000 years ago, would be happening again in the human soul, ours, some of us here. And I know, Father, every Easter that there are people that are here reluctantly, and there are people here that are here to keep somebody else happy. But I want to pray in Jesus' name that this would be a moment where we don't just look back at a stone, but we experience a stone being rolled away in our own hearts today, even just a little bit, Father. Maybe just pull it back just a little bit so just a little gleam of light would come in, and we would thirst and crave even more. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Well, you guys look amazing, by the way. Like there's... That's what I was looking for the whole time. Thank you, Jason. I mean, I pulled a jacket out for this, everybody. The shirt is still untucked, but inside is not. So, hey, happy Easter. Yeah. And, or happy, for us, we say Resurrection Sunday. And here on Resurrection Sunday, this is the day that we celebrate or commemorate the most important day in all of history. And that is 2,000 years ago, Jesus, born of a virgin, worker of miracles, teacher of truth, was arrested and tried unjustly, was executed by Roman soldiers on a cross of wood. His limp and broken body was taken down and placed into a tomb, and the tomb was sealed with a stone. And on the third day, Jesus, the Son of God, rose again. Amen. We're told that there were 500 witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. 500 people watched him. They walked with him. They heard him. Some of these eyewitnesses ate with him. They shared a meal with the resurrected Jesus. Some of them touched his hands and were able to put their fingers in his hands, touched him. So their eyewitness testimony that Jesus wasn't a shared illusion, you know, like some sort of cosmic dream that everybody had at the same time. These eyewitnesses testified that he wasn't a ghost, that he wasn't merely spiritual, but he was physical, he was real, he had a resurrected body that wasn't bound by the same things that other people were bound to. Now, this resurrection had incredible significance. It wasn't just this really neat miracle or trick, but it had incredible significance. Number one is it gave validation to the teachings of Jesus. Like the things that Jesus said all of a sudden have a new power when this same person was arrested and executed, and then he comes back to life. All of a sudden you go, maybe I should listen to these things, right? There's a validation. Furthermore, there's a confirmation to Jesus' identity. Like one of the things that Jesus said was that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. This was not invented by modern religious people seeking power. This is not a statement invented by people trying to suppress other people. This is something that Jesus, the Son of God, said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the Son of God. I am one with the Father. The resurrection gives confirmation to Jesus' identity. Amen? Amen. The resurrection also gives us evidence. Would you say evidence? It gives us tangible evidence of the eternal. What God was revealing to us is that there is something more than the here and now, the things that you and I touch and crave and try to buy, earn, or steal, right? That there's something bigger going on. There is an eternity. There was some evidence here. But I want to be clear this morning that all of these things, these really cool things, this validation, confirmation, evidence, was not just God showing off. Easter, the resurrection, this stone that was rolled, this tomb that was empty, this grave that was opened, God did it because he wants to move bigger stones. So as big as that stone was, and they say that stone was enormous, that you know, the ladies, Star read it earlier, on the way there, they were wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to move the stone? Because the stone was enormous. It wasn't something that one or two people could move. It was enormous. So I'm not ignoring that the stone was a big deal. I'm just saying that there are bigger stones in this world that God is passionate about moving. And the bigger stones are the stones, the almost impossible to move stones, over the human heart. The reality is that all of us wrestle with things that turn us off to God. We wrestle with things that stir up cynicism and questions. All of us wrestle with things that just make God seem so far off. But today I want you to see that the reason we celebrate Easter is that God is still moving big stones. So what I want to do this morning is I want to keep reading the Easter story. In my experience, if you've done Easter before, in my experience, we stop in verse 12. In my experience, when we celebrate Easter, we stop in verse 12 in Luke chapter 24, or another one of the Gospels we tell, and we stop there, and we don't see the incredible heart of God seeping out on Easter morning. So I want to do this morning. I want to read a little bit more of the Easter story, and I want you to see the very first steps of Jesus on Easter morning. So if you didn't bring a Bible, you can always pull one up on your phone. We always have Bibles for you to take free over on this table. But I can't promise everything because sometimes I throw stuff in. But most of the things I'm going to read, the scriptures are going to be up on the screens on my right and my left. So read along with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 24, the rest of the Easter story. Now in verse 13, Luke is careful to tell us. He says, I want you to know that the same day, it's still what day? Sunday, come on guys, this one was really easy. What day is it? It's Easter, okay. They didn't call it Easter then, okay. Some of you Bible scholars, you're like, oh, they didn't call it Easter then, okay. But for our fun today, it's still what day? It's still Easter. It looks like, hey, it's still Easter. It's the same day. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, check this out. These are the first steps of Jesus on Easter. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? Isn't that amazing? They're like, are you clueless? They asked that of Jesus. Okay. Let's give them a break. They didn't know at the time, okay? Verse 19, Jesus says, everybody? What things? He's like, tell me about it. They said, well, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, and what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. I'm going to stop right here for a minute, verse 21. Verse 21 is a very real verse. Did you catch this? I'm going to read it again. But we had hoped. Had, it's past tense. We used to be people of hope. We used to be people of faith. We once had hope, but not today. Jesus' first steps are steps with people who are walking away. Did you catch this? Jesus' first steps on Easter morning are with people who are walking away. They're not only walking away from Jerusalem, but they're walking away from a movement.
They're walking away from a mission. They're walking away from purpose. They're walking away from a person in which they once had hope. Jesus' first steps on Easter morning are with people just like you and me. Isn't that amazing? People who are wrestling inside. We had hope. And oh man, what a miserable place it is to be. When the biggest stone on the planet is the stone rolled over your own heart. Solomon writes this in the book of Proverbs. He says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When the hope is squeezed out of your heart, when skepticism has moved in, when doubt stands guard and lets nothing else in, how incredibly painful. Jesus takes it to the next level. He says this in Luke chapter 6. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his, what, everybody? For heart. And then Jesus says, listen, I want you to know that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus says, I know that we live in a world where you think that the heart doesn't have to be connected to the hands, but you can't escape it. Like, your hands are going to do the things that your heart is full of, that your mouth is going to speak the things that your heart is full of. This means that the pain that you and I experience in our homes, the pain that you and I experience in the world, the pain that you and I experience in our relationships, the brokenness, the angst, the awfulness, the things that we hate reading on the news are all traced back to the condition of the human heart. And God came to move it. God came to move it. Earlier, I mentioned that Jesus had this physical body. You remember I talked about that? They touched him and they reported on it. And they wrote it. I mean, we took and we curated all the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, and people have been reading it and sharing it with each other for 2,000 years. But Jesus had a real physical body. So he could show up. The eyewitnesses said that they would be in a room praying, and Jesus would just show up in the room. And the door was locked, they said. It was the most amazing thing. The door was locked. Jesus would show up, and then Jesus would leave, okay? Now, what does that tell you about the stone? Think about it for just a moment. If Jesus didn't need a door to be locked or unlocked to go in, did Jesus need the stone rolled away? Was Jesus like in the tomb, like, what am I going to do? I'm hanging out here. I hope some people show up. No, Jesus wasn't waiting for an angel or a group of angels to roll away heavy stones so he could come out. Do you know why the stone was rolled away? For us. So that you and I could look inside and have tangible evidence that Jesus is risen and that God longs for the biggest stone on planet Earth, the stone over my heart and your heart, to be rolled away. Okay, that's me being preachy, but let's go back to the passage, okay? Isn't that cool, though? Okay, it's cool. Okay, so verse 22, and look back in Luke chapter 24. It says, in addition, these are the guys talking. They're like, they explain this. Remember, they're trying to clue Jesus in on everything. And they said, in addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early that morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us, I'll pause for a moment. These guys were there on Easter morning and walked away. Like, there's some people celebrating, right? At the very moment that this walk is happening, there's some people celebrating. And there's some people wrestling. There's someone like Peter racing the tomb and John racing the tomb to just see and kind of wrestle with the evidence. These two are walking away from faith. Okay, pick back up. They came and told us they've seen the vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are. And how slow to believe all the things the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go farther. But they urged him strongly, no, 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 stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And while he was at the table with them, they took some bread and they gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were, everybody, opened. A stone was moved. A tomb was empty. A grave was opened. And it was the one over the human heart. They recognized him. And at that very moment, he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And so they got up and they went back. They stopped their walking away. They returned. They returned at once to Jerusalem. That 7-mile walk went by very quickly. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and they said, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Easter. On Easter morning, God came to roll two stones. One was over a physical tomb, and the second was over the human heart. Now, how does he do that? I've mentioned cynicism and doubt standing guard over a heart. I've mentioned a stone over the human heart. What if that's a bit of your story? How does God move a stone in 2023? He does it the same way. Did you see it first? He walks with me. We like to take notes around here. I encourage people to do that. You can use your phone if you want. You can take notes if you'd like. If not, just I think you'll be able to remember this. The first thing he does is he walks with me. I find this amazing that God's most important evidence on that day is not trying to evidence Jesus' words or evidence Jesus' identity. What God is wanting to evidence is that Jesus not only conquered death, but that Jesus is still alive. And not only is he still alive, he is very present with us. And let me be more specific, he is present with me. That's what he's showing here, is that Jesus didn't just kind of survive a traumatic event, but Jesus is present and he is walking with me. Verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things, these two people who are walking away from faith, walking away from the mission of God at this very moment, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. How amazing that Jesus walks with us when we don't even recognize him. That's what it says in verse 16. He says they were kept from recognizing him. Now, people have wrestled with this. Like, why did they not recognize Jesus? I don't know their specific reasons, but I know that I have lots of them. Amen? Sometimes I don't recognize Jesus because I'm full of doubt. Amen? You're really slow on that one, okay? No one wants to amen doubt, right? Sometimes I don't recognize Jesus because I got doubt or I got skepticism. Or sometimes, and probably more significantly to many of us in this room, sometimes because I'm merely distracted. Jesus talked about my filling my life with just the things of this world. Sometimes I just get distracted and I don't recognize that he's here. Now, some of you might still be doubting, is he really with me? I want to take you to the last book in the New Testament. It's the book of Revelation. It was written by John. And John quotes Jesus. John is given this gift of being able to see what Jesus is doing eternally, long after his resurrection. And in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens the door, I will come in." Jesus says, "I want you to know that I stand at the door of every man and woman's heart, life, journey, even when they're not open to me being there." Isn't that cool? Like, even when you weren't real receptive. And I think if you just pause for a moment here on Easter morning and just think back, aren't there some moments that you go, "I think God is right here"? For some of you, it was a car accident that you just barely survived. Anybody? Some of you, yeah. Some of you, it was like an addiction that you shouldn't have made it through. Anybody? Well, amen. Some of you, it was a decision that, man, it was, you made the dumbest decision and somehow God just protected you. Anybody? Right? Some of you, in your belligerence, God has just been persistent and good and kind to you. He has been with you the entire way. Amen? It is amazing that God walks with us. And I love it that first steps of Jesus on Easter morning were walking with people who were not aware that he was right there. He also talks with me. He walks with me and he talks with me. In verse 27, it says, and beginning, right after he says, you foolish people, did you catch that? Like, how did you miss it? You foolish people. And then what does he do next? It says this in verse 27, he says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them. He opens scripture to them. He makes things make sense. This is what God always, listen, this is what God always does to the hungry. Psalm 107, David says, he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Okay, and let's be clear, these two people, Cleopas, and we don't know the name of the other person, okay? It could have been a spouse. Some people think it might have been a spouse or a friend. They are both walking away from Jerusalem, from the mission. They're walking away from purpose, right? They haven't. We're not talking about people who have been like, oh, yeah, let's go back. They're still walking away, and as they're walking away, they have a little bit of curiosity, and what does Jesus do? He meets them there in that curiosity. Even while they're continuing to walk away, he's just walking away with them, explaining and revealing truth. Jesus says this in Matthew 7. This is one of his promises. He says, everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks, you see it up there, everybody? What happens? The one who seeks what? Finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be, there's that word again, opened. Isn't that good? This is Jesus' promise. He says, I'm walking with you. Even when you're not aware of it, I'm walking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when you show even a little bit of hunger, I will feed you. When you ask a little bit of a question, I will answer you. I will meet you. I will reveal. I will open things to the thirsty and the hungry. He walks with me, he talks with me. Some of you have been around church a little while, you might know where I'm going to go with this one. And he tells me, I'm his own. Okay, those of you who have not been around church a little while, you're a little like, what? I'm not tracking. Okay, stick with me. Okay, verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus, can you guys read that with me? Jesus what? Everybody together, Jesus what? Jesus continued on as they got to their destination, 7 miles, a day's journey from mission and movement, from their circle, from the hope that they once had. They get to their place, their destination, and it is clear that Jesus is going to keep on moving. And something inside of them says, no. This can't be right. I need more of this. And they simply invite, well, maybe not simply, verse 29 says, they urged him strongly, stay with me, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. And I love this, it says this, so he went in to stay with him. And in verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then verse 31, the most amazing part of it, then their eyes were, everybody, opened. All it took was a hungry heart. I said, Jesus, will you please come in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in. I will come in. And at that very moment, he did. And that very moment, the stone in front of the tomb of their heart was rolled away. And they were his forever. I won't go back and read the rest of the story because we read it already. What do? At that very moment when they were changed and transformed, they got up from the table and they boogied. I think boogie is the appropriate word here. They boogied back to the mission. They boogied back to purpose. They boogied back to the faith journey that God had called them to. They were changed people forever. This is God's heartbeat for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe would have eternal life. Easter wasn't just an isolated, spectacular event. It was God moving a stone so that he could move even bigger stones. To be honest, I don't know your story. I don't know your journey. I don't know exactly where you are. But I do know this. God knows, and he's standing in the front door, and he's knocking. And he's been there a long time. And I just, as a friend, would say to you, don't let this moment pass by. Don't hope that Easter quickly goes by and you can get back to the everyday tomorrow. Urge him to come in. Urge him to come in. You may have some questions like, well, what's this going to mean? Well, he will walk this out with you in the days to come. It will mean incredible, beautiful transformation in your life. There will be incredible change that is coming, but it requires you urging him to come in. And when you do, he does. In a moment, I'm going to give us an opportunity to pray together. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Maybe it's not happenstance that you're here. Maybe you're not here because somebody twisted your arm. Maybe God's been knocking for a long time, and maybe today would be the first day of the rest of your life. Before I lead us in prayer, I want to read an old hymn, a poem. It's written by C. Austin Miles. He was a former pharmacist, and this man, his family says, was in a cold, dreary, leaky basement in Pittman, New Jersey. And in this cold, dreary, leaky basement, a basement that didn't even have a window, let alone a view of a garden, he wrote this. He writes, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Father, I am amazed at the incredible patience of a merciful God who pursues me and knocks on the front door of my heart over and over and over again. A God who would move a stone for the sole purpose of moving the stone in my heart. I find that amazing. I find it amazing that the purpose of sending your son was to give and breathe life, joy, abundant life into someone like me. I find that amazing. Jesus, would you come in? Friends, that's the only prayer that a man or woman has to pray. Jesus, would you come in? Would you save me? I have been walking away, cynicism and doubt, discouragement, even distraction has been ruling. And I'm asking that you save me, rescue me from all of that. Jesus, would you come in? Thank you for hearing prayers like that. Over the years and years and years, simple people like us, you hear and you change, you transform. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you came in, hopefully you got a little little cup. And Don, could you bring one to me? Do you mind? These are our Lord's Supper cups. And today on Easter, as a celebration, thank you, Don. As a celebration of what Jesus has done, we are going to take the Lord's Supper together. And at Discovery, here, we don't restrict people from taking it. We would ask that you would take it only on one condition. And the condition is that at some point in your life, maybe even just now, you prayed that prayer or a prayer similar to that and gave your life to Jesus. And right now, if you don't have one, so there's a couple of people with hands up. If you don't have one, we're going to get some to you. So if you're a Jesus follower, we would ask that you take it. Now, if you have children with you, if your child has never asked Jesus into their life, we would ask that they wouldn't take it. But as a parent, just walk them through the process. Tell them what you're doing. Now, your child may have asked Jesus to come in their life. They may have just done it while I was praying. And this might be their first time to take the Lord's Supper. And as a parent, I want to encourage you to just walk them through this. Share this moment with them. And we're going to start first by taking the bread. Now, what you do is you're going to carefully peel back the first layer. And that will reveal this little wafer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says this, that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So take and eat. After supper, he took the cup. You're going to have to be more careful with this part. He said, after supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Take and drink. Jesus, the most significant event in all of history, was the day when the one and only Son of God, born of a virgin, worker of miracles, teacher of truth, who was arrested and unjustly tried and executed by Roman soldiers, after being laid into the tomb and that tomb sealed with a stone, on the third day, you gloriously rose again. And it is this that gives us hope. It is this and this alone that fills the heart of a man, a woman, a child, a family. This is this and this alone that gives us hope and eternal life. In Jesus we pray. We're going to have a couple more songs. And during this first song of worship, we're going to be passing some baskets. This is what we call our giving back to God time. And when you came in, you got a worship folder. Inside it was a little card. I think it's a green card. And we would like for you to drop in those baskets, that card with your name on it. And there's some things on the back that you can fill out if they're appropriate to you this morning. Some people are going to use this as their offering time. And if you're a guest with us, we ask that you don't put any money in there. We ask our guests just to drop that card in. If this becomes your church home, and we would love to have you come and be a part of this journey. We're going to be journeying together. There's some really cool stuff. We're going to be talking about deconstruction over the next few weeks. We would love to have you with us as we walk through this together. So we'd love this for your church home. And if this becomes your church home, one of the things that we would invite you to do is to give back like we do. And but today, today, let's worship. And after the baskets go by, the team will eventually ask you to stand, and we'll worship together.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death claimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on the cross they made for sin.
Hold him.
we thank you so much for joining us this Easter Sunday. Next week, don't forget, we start a new sermon series called Between Two Worlds. And we hope that if this is kind of your first stepping out and taking a risk and coming to church again for the first time or again in a long time, that you would stick with us and continue on to those next steps of your own journey of faith. And if you're interested in that, we actually have ways that you can kind of continue your journey. You can go out these doors and we have reference materials and things like that to just get you started on your next steps. Also, for live stream viewers, you can get the same type of information at our website at discochurch.com/events. Well, we'd love to keep hanging out with you. It doesn't stop right now. We actually have a whole bunch of fun planned for you. If you go down these steps into our rotunda, that's kind of our mingle space. We've got some photo booth set up. So if you want a nice Easter photo, now you're all spiffied up, get that picture taken. We also have some Easter treats if you continue down the hall in our cafeteria. We have treats for the kids. We have something that we're calling Disco Shines. It's a little Tacoma thing, but Disco Shines, kind of like a little hunt, I think. And then also there's a bouncy house. And if that's not enough for you adults, we also have some free coffee with a Vintage Bee coffee truck. So go get your free coffee while your kids get all the wiggles out. Or, you know, I think there's probably a height and weight limit, so maybe the adults can't bounce, but you can get your coffee and bounce that way. And let's see, what else? I think that's it. I just pray that you have a blessed Easter. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks for coming. Have a good morning.
Right here in my heart.